Okay, so this is the prologue starting on page 117. When in April the sweet showers fall and pierce the drought of March to the root, and all the veins are bathed in liquor of such power as brings about the engendering of the flower. When also Zephyrus with his sweet breath exhales an air in every grove and heath upon the tender shoots, and the young sun his half course in the sign of the ram has run, and the small fowl are making melody, that sleep away the night with open eye, so nature pricks them and their open heart, so their heart engages. Then people long to go on pilgrimages. So when spring comes, people want to travel. And palmers long to seek the stranger strands of far-off saints, hallowed in sundry lands, and specially from every shire's end of England, down to Canterbury they wend to seek the holy, blissful martyr, quick to give his help to them when they were sick. So every spring, people want to travel and take a pilgrimage to Canterbury where they'll see a religious man. It happened in that season that one day in Southwark at the Tobard, as I lay ready to go on pilgrimage and start for Canterbury, most devout at heart, at night there came into that hostelry some 29 in a company of sundry folk, happening then to fall in fellowship. So I was on my pilgrimage, and 29 people came along to be my company. In fellowship, and they were pilgrims, all that towards Canterbury meant to ride. The rooms and stables of the inn were wide, they made us easy, all was of the best. And briefly, when the sun had gone to rest, I'd spoken to them all upon the trip, and was soon one with them in fellowship. Pledged to rise early and to take the way to Canterbury, as you heard me say. So I've just finished page 117. He's met a bunch of people. Turn the volume down. He's met a bunch of people and they're on their way to Canterbury. On the receiver, can you turn it down?
So this is
So turning the page to 118. So the partner begins with an introduction or a preface to his tale in which he tells about his past success. He has made a fortune by preaching the same message to various audiences. Page 118. He gives a Latin phrase. It says, "The love of money is the root of all evil." The partner's own love of money, which he refers to as avarice and covetousness, keeps him traveling from town to town so that he can earn enough to support his wealthy habits. The following passage is an excerpt from his introduction. But let me briefly make my purpose plain. I preach for nothing but for greed of gain, and use the same old text, as bold as brass, Radix malorum est cupidatis. And thus I preach against the very vice I make my living out of, avarice. And yet, however guilty of that sin myself, with others I have power to win them from it. I can bring them to repent. But that is not my principal intent. So he's just explained to him that he is guilty of greed himself. He's talking to the 29 other travelers on this journey to Canterbury.
So he's telling them.
He's telling his story. And he says, I myself am guilty of the same sin I'm preaching against. I'm guilty of greed myself. So I know the danger of it. And I'm going to tell you a little tale that proves the danger of sin, the danger of greed.
He's telling them that he's bad.
Yes, he's admitted it. Like any salesman, I could say, you know, if I'm trying to sell you a car, hey, we all got a bad rap, these sales guys. I'm not one of them, or at least I'm not as bad as them. You can win somebody over by admitting something to them, right? So they've let their guard down. They can see he's not better than them. He's just like them. But telling him this isn't his principal intent. Covetousness or greed is both the root and stuff of all I preach. That ought to be enough. It's of three rioters I have to tell, who long before the morning service bell were sitting in a tavern for a drink. And as they sat, they heard the handbell clink before a coffin going to the grave. One of them called the little tavern knave and said, "Go and find out at once, look spry, whose corpse is in that coffin passing by? And see you get the name correctly too." "Sir," said the boy, "no need, I promise you. 2 hours before you came here, I was told he was a friend of yours in the days of old. And suddenly, last night, the man was slain, upon his bench, face up, dead drunk again. There came a privy thief, they call him Death, who kills us all round here, and in a breath, he speared him through the heart. He never stirred. And then Death went his way without a word. He's killed 1,000 in the present plague, and sir, it doesn't do to be too vague. If you should meet him... If you should meet him, you would best be wary, be on your guard with such an adversary. Be primed to meet him everywhere you go. That's what my mother said. It's all I know. So what's happened so far? He's telling a tale about three rioters who are sitting in a bar having drinks, and they see a procession with a coffin going down the street, and they call to the little servant guy in this bar and say, go out and find out who died. And the kid says, I don't have to go find out. I found out 2 hours ago. And it was a guy who was just out. He was drunk. And Death came and found him and speared him through the heart. He didn't stir. Death has taken thousands of people. So you have to always be on your guard against Death. He's always lurking near. Be primed to meet him everywhere you go. That's what my mother said. It's all I know. Okay? The publican joined in with, by the Saint Mary, what the child says is right. You'd best be wary. This very year he killed in a large village a mile away, man, woman, serf at tillage, page in the household, children, all there were. Yes, I imagine that he lives round there. It's well to be prepared in these alarms. He might do you dishonor. Ha, God's arms. The rioter said, is he so fierce to meet? I'll search for him by Jesus, street by street. God, blessed bones, I'll register a vow. Here, chaps, the three of us together now, hold up your hands like me, and we'll be brothers in this affair. Okay. So let's start. The three of us together now, that's at line 48. Here, chaps, the three of us together now, hold up your hands like me, and we'll be brothers in this affair, and each defend the other. And we will kill this traitor Death, I say. Away with him as he has made away with all our friends. God's dignity tonight. So one of the young guys jumps up and makes a pledge. Let's go looking for Death. The three of us will deal with him and we'll get rid of him.
So wait, do we know which one that is?
He is the rioter. So we'll just start with him, the rioter. They made their bargain, swore with appetite. They were hungry for this journey. These three to live and die for one another, as brothers born might swear to his born brother. And up they started in their drunken rage and made towards this village which the page and publican had spoken of before. Many and grisly were the oaths they swore, tearing Christ's blessed body to a shred. If we can only catch him, Death is dead. When they had gone not fully half a mile, just as they were about to cross a stile, they came upon a very poor old man who humbly greeted them and thus began. God look to you, my lords, and give you quiet. To which the proudest of these men of riot gave back the answer. Proudest is the second of their characters. What, old fool, give place? Why are you all wrapped up except your face? Why live so long? Isn't it time to die? The old fellow looked him in the eye and said, because I never yet have found, though I have walked to India, searching round village and city on my pilgrimage, one who would change his youth to have my age. And so my age is mine and must be still upon me for such time as God may will. So the proudest man confronts the guy kind of angrily and says, why are you still alive? You're such an old, wrinkled man. And the man says, I've walked this earth and I can't find anyone to trade my life for. We're on page 121. Line 80. Not even Death, alas, will take my life. So like a wretched prisoner at strife within himself, I walk alone and wait about the earth, which is my mother's gate, knocking, knock, knocking with my staff from night to noon and crying, Mother, open to me soon. Look at me, mother. Won't you let me in? So he's wanting to die. He's wanting Earth to take him back. The old man.
Wait, is the old man man too?
No, the old man isn't one of our characters.
Who's man one, the rider?
Yep, man one is the rider. Man two is the proudest, and we don't have a man three yet.
Okay.
These are the three brothers.
What's man two called?
The proudest. No, it said here, as brother born might swear to his brother born, they went. Like blood brothers in a way. They're pretending that they're off together. Line 85, page 121. Look at me, mother, won't you let me in? The old man speaks. See how I wither flesh and blood and skin? Alas, when will these bones be laid to rest? Mother, I would exchange, for that were best, the wardrobe in my chamber, standing there so long for yours. I for a shirt of hair to wrap me in. She has refused her grace. Whence comes the pallor of my withered face? But it dishonored you when you began to speak so roughly, sir, to an old man. So he's speaking to that proudest of them. You spoke so roughly to an old man. Unless he had injured you in word or deed, it says in Holy Writ, as you may read, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor it. And therefore, be it said, do no more harm to an old man than you, now being now young, would have done have another do when you were old. Do no more harm to an old man than you, being now young, would have another do when you are old, if you should live till then. And so may God be with you, gentlemen, for I must go whither I have to go. By God, the gambler said, you shan't do so. You don't get off so easy by St. John. So he's our third brother, a gambler. You could put, for the proudest, he's at the top of page 121. So when you go back to look for a quality of him, you'll find it at the top of page 121. The gambler is at the bottom of page 121. You'll need a reference to support what he's like, what his personality is like. You don't get off so easy by St. John. I heard you mention just a moment gone a certain traitor Death who singles out and kills the fine young fellows hereabout. And you're his spy, by God. You wait a bit. Say where he is, or you shall pay for it. And by God and by the Holy Sacrament, I say you've joined together by consent to kill us younger folk, you thieving swine.